Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
We're excited to be here, and we consider you family. I knew when we walked in the door this morning, Morgan and I, we said, we're with our people, you know? We're with our people. We're with family. And, let me just say, Pastor Kevin, this worship team, you guys are so blessed. You know what? And Pastor Jeff, this family, I mean, it's amazing to see what God is doing here in Mount Olive, NC, and we're so honored and thankful to be able to be here this morning with you. I'm going to tell you that coming in this morning, my wife can attest to this, Austin can attest to this, I had a terrible headache. Oh my goodness, bags under my eyes. I mean, I was feeling kind of rough. We had a busy weekend, and I was praying, Lord, give us strength. And I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit or caffeine or a combination of the both, but I tell you what, I feel good. I'm excited and ready to, is it okay if I walk around a little bit? You know, you get the caffeine jitters. No, I'm just kidding. Man, it's so good to be here. I want to introduce myself real quick, just a second. Pastor Jeff did a really awesome job introducing me. When I told him, he said, can you send me a bio? I said, just tell him I'm Adam. That'll work. But I'm grateful for that. But we're from a little town just south of Fayetteville, and we do have three wonderful kids, and you're going, how old are you, dude? You know, but we are just so blessed to be here. Several years ago, decided that it was God's plan and God's will for our lives to be in pastoral ministry. And so we were at that moment living in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I was working for the bank. Morgan was teaching school, and we left the banking world and made a move down to a small town called Boardman, NC. We were living in St. Paul's, but pastoring in Boardman. Boardman was a community of 149 people, right? And when I found out about Boardman, when they called me and said, hey, would you go here? There's a church. I said, what country is Boardman in? I wasn't sure. But I quickly found out where it was, and it was a special people that God had for us there. And Turnaround Church, Turnaround Ministries was birthed, and we got to see God do some incredible things. And we were able to plant a church in Tar Heel, NC, both of which have amazing pastors on the team there now, and we are making the shift to Raleigh. There's a reason I want to share that with you this morning. Our story is simply this. When God speaks, we say yes. We haven't always said yes, but we made a decision several years ago that we were not going to do it our way anymore. We were not going to run. We were going to say yes to whatever God had for us. And that is an amazing adventure. That is an amazing journey to be willing to say yes. And God's not looking for perfection. He's not looking for you to have it all figured out. This morning, I want to tell you, He's looking for obedience. And he values and honors obedience and faithfulness. And if you're willing to give Him your yes, I'm telling you, you'll never regret it. It's been an amazing journey. So I started pastoring at 22 at Boardman, a little church in Boardman, North Carolina. And we've seen God do miraculous things. When we stepped into that role there, we had a lot of friends and family that were very supportive. We had an abundance of counselors, as Proverbs speaks of, and we had people sowing into our lives, pouring into us, many mentors, right, and friends that were speaking into our lives. And here's what I found. I found myself in a moment where I said, okay, I've got to do every day, I've got to do something to grow this ministry. I've got to do something to better this ministry and to see people walk in the door. And after a while, I got really focused on what I was doing more so than who I was becoming. And the reality was there was this pressure that I felt, and it was nobody's fault. It was just a pressure that I felt that I had to perform, that I had to show up every day ready to accomplish a task, and that I had to meet these benchmarks and goals that I had put in my mind that I had to live up to a certain standard or degree when it comes to performing. And what I ended up in this place of, it was just where I wasn't hearing from God. It was super dry. Anybody ever been in like a dry season, right? Where you just, like a wilderness season. Found myself in that place until October of 2023. Morgan and I attended a conference in Greenville, South Carolina, and while we were there, we were asked, a room full of pastors, ministers, people that love Jesus, we were asked to go get by ourselves and to just spend a few minutes alone with God with a pen and paper, right? And he said, the instructor or the pastor that was teaching that day, he said, I want you to, if you would, be so bold as to ask God the question, Holy Spirit, if there's any perspective or view that I have of you that is wrong, would you reveal it to me? And the words he actually used were, if there are any heretical views or wrong views that I have of you. And I thought, hold on now. I was raised in Sunday school. Like, I know the Bible, and I got a relationship with Jesus, and we're in ministry now. And I thought, that's crazy. But he beat me to the punch. The next thing the pastor said was, I know some of you may be thinking, I don't have any wrong views of God, but if you would just do that, if you'll just spend a few moments and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, is there any way that I see you that is wrong? So I went and I got alone with God that day in October of 2023, and I sat quietly for a few moments and I began to pray just like we would, right? Father, I love you. I'm thankful to have the opportunity to be in your presence. And then I asked the question, Holy Spirit, if I have any wrong view of you, if I'm seeing you in any way that's not accurate to the person that you are, to your character, to who you really are, God, would you show that? Would you show it to me? Would you reveal it to me? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me through an image. And I would show you the image because I drew it, but I can't draw. You would think Zeke drew it. He actually draws better than I do. But what I saw was this classroom, right? My wife's a school. Any teachers in here? Come on. Praise the Lord for our teachers. Thank you for what you do. I saw this classroom, and in it was a bunch. There were a lot of desks, school desks, but I was sitting at one in particular, nobody else in the room, and I saw God as this teacher or instructor, and he was walking back and forth at the front of the classroom as I was taking an exam. And the clock was on the wall, and it was ticking just as the one on the back wall is right now. And I was desperately trying to finish before the clock ran out. And I saw the Lord just kind of walking back and forth, popping a ruler on his hand as I was taking this assignment. And I knew that the Lord had the best interest in mind for me, that he wanted what was best for me. I knew that he wanted me to learn, that he wanted to teach me, that he wanted me to do well on this test. And hey, if I failed the test, I could take it again. The second part of that challenge to us that day was to say, God, would you show me now the most accurate view that I have of you? What's the way that I see you that is most in alignment with your character, with who you really are? I saw a house, like maybe just like yours, with a couch in the living room, and on that couch was God our Father. And as a child, I was just sitting on his knee with my head laid over on his chest as I would hold my son. And this is what I heard This is what I heard the Holy Spirit say to me. I'm not after your performance. I'm not looking for you to perform well, and I'm not chasing what you do. I'm chasing who you are. And these were the words that I heard. For this next season of your life, I want you to allow your primary understanding of me to be the simple fact that I am with you. And that changed my life, friends. And I started a journey of knowing God as my Father. Really, as my Father. Knowing God as being with me. I love what Pastor Jeff said when we were singing the song earlier, that God is here. He is with us. And for that, I'm grateful. As I've walked down this journey of knowing him in a, I think, a more accurate way, I've found myself just wanting to talk more and more and more about the importance of hearing God in your life. Because see, it wasn't a teaching. Maybe it was a teaching that prompted me to find a space to just listen and ask God questions and to hear his voice in my life. But what it was that changed my life was the voice of the Lord. It saved our ministry. It saved our marriage. And where we are now is because of God's voice. Here's what's on my heart this morning. I hope I can present it in a way that's receivable and that bears fruit. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, I want to read this together. It says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had began to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, 'Here I am,' and ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call you. Lie down again.' So he went and lay down, and the Lord called again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call you, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall speak. You shall say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So Samuel went and lay down in his place." Verse 10. "And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.' Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle.'" In this passage, we see Samuel, who is a young boy, and he's serving under Eli, the priest. And the word of the Lord, which was rare, it says, rare in these days, it comes to Samuel. Samuel has an encounter with God, but he doesn't realize he's having an encounter with God. But Samuel heard God's voice. I believe that this church, I believe that every one of us individually, our families, our communities, I believe that if we would tune our ear to hear God's voice, that we would see incredible, amazing things happen. That we would see more people line up on this stage, Pastor Jeff, and say, "I'm called to minister the gospel." We'd see people say, I feel like God's speaking to me to go into my community to do this in the workplace. I feel like I'm supposed to do this in my church." Because God If we allow him to, he wants to speak to us. But there are a couple of things that Samuel did that I believe allowed him to be able to hear from God. And if we can catch just how important God's voice is, and this is not to negate the importance of God's word, it's not to downplay it at all. No, instead, it's to say that there are times in which God, Holy Spirit, wants to speak to you in a way that only he can, and in real time, and that if we would allow him to do that, I believe that our journeys would impact the kingdom of God in big ways. Samuel positioned himself in the presence of God. See, Samuel was actually physically close to the ark of God. The ark symbolized God's presence by serving in the temple. He placed himself in an environment where he could hear from God. Our story was that we were so busy, that we were so caught up in what we were doing, that we were not allowing ourselves to take time to get alone with God and to be near him and in his presence. Now, we would show up to worship services, right? Matter of fact, we had one every Sunday morning. And we had awesome worship, and we would clap our hands and sing, and we would hear a message, and we would hear from God's word, but we never allow time to separate ourselves and to really listen. For us, it took going 3.5 hours away from home and somebody saying, do this. And so this morning, if I say do this, just know somebody told me to do it, and it was a blessing. But Samuel positioned himself near the presence of God, whether that was intentional in that moment, whether he was seeking to hear from God or not, he still began to be close to where God's presence was. You're here this morning, and I believe you're in the presence of God. Amen? That what you've done by getting up and coming to this 9 o'clock service this morning is you've positioned yourself to be near God. You positioned yourself to be where God is. Now, here's the thing. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is in your home. He was with you when you woke up this morning. He will be with you when you leave here today. He will stay. He will remain with you. I wonder how aware we are of that sometimes. See, it's not a question as to whether or not God is with us. It's how aware are we of the fact that he is. Would we turn our attention toward him and recognize the fact that he is present, that he is with us, even in our homes, right? That he is able to speak to us right where we are, wherever we are. See, I believe Samuel, his proximity to the ark of God, his closeness to God's presence allowed him to be positioned to hear from him. I wonder, are we positioning ourselves to hear from to hear the voice of the Lord in our lives? Well, what does that look like? Does that look like going and laying at this altar? Yeah, it might. But what about when the church doors are locked? Are you going to call Pastor Jeff on a cell phone and say, "Hey, you got to let me in. Like, I got to get to the altar." Well, maybe. But let me offer something else. That during that time, the ark of God symbolized God's presence. It's where God's presence was. But see, Jesus, when he went to the cross for us and he died and rose again for us, and when he breathed his spirit that day, and he said, the comforter, our helper, our power, is present because of the Holy Spirit. Now, for every single person that has made a decision to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells and lives inside of us. Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you, lives in us, lives in me. I'm so grateful for that. That's power, that's authority, that's presence. That's presence. Samuel positioned himself to hear God's voice. I believe we must intentionally position ourselves to be in places where we can encounter him. And that can, more than a physical place, That's a heart place. Because it doesn't have to be in this room. It can be. It doesn't have to be in this building. It can be. But it can be in your home. It can be in your car. It could be in your workplace. It's wherever you can position your heart to be near God and to recognize that He is present, that He is near. This includes engaging in regular prayer and reading scripture and participating in worship like this. But it also means allowing space for God to speak. See, I was showing up, but I was in the right place physically, but I was not in the right place spiritually. And when I positioned my heart to get still and listen, I was in the presence of God. I began to hear from Him. Your environment can shape your encounter, church. Place yourself in His presence. And the closer you will position yourself to God's presence, I believe the clearer His voice will become in your life. Number two, I think Samuel actually responded to guidance and instruction. See, at the beginning, Samuel did not recognize God's voice. He didn't realize that God was speaking to him. Instead, he went to Eli. I think about your children. My children waking up in the middle of the night, kind of coming and knocking on our door. Our little girl, it's not been long. We've got a newborn who's 4 weeks old, so he's a month old now. And our little girl, she's so precious, Elena. But listen, she's asked us 100 times, when's baby Eli going home? You know, she's ready for him to go. She loves him. She likes to play with him. But then at nighttime, she's like, go home, you know. And I'm... So we're working on that. We're building him a house. What's special, though, is that she is waking up now in the middle of the night. And she slept through the night before, but since the baby's been born, she wakes up almost every night and comes and knocks on our door, or we leave the door open now. She just comes in, and you see her, and she's pretty loud. She's not very quiet. It's not like what you see, like, Dad, can I? No. She like, comes in. She's like, hey! You know, I'm here, pay me attention. But I just kind of imagine, I don't know, because that's my experience, I imagine that's what Samuel did to Eli. Like, he just come in there, and he's like, hey, what? And Eli's like, I didn't call you, bro. Like, I didn't call you, go back to bed. And I believe that after the third time, whether Samuel was convinced that it was the Lord or not, he was going to tell him it was, because he needed to quit coming in there and bothering him. But I really do believe, though, that Eli recognized that it was God speaking to Samuel, right? It says that in the scripture, it says that Eli perceived that it was the Lord speaking to Samuel. And I believe that. Number one, because scripture said it, but number two, Eli had heard from the Lord before. God, surround yourself with people that are hearing from God frequently. So, yes, I understand that the most seasoned individuals of faith go through what we call dry seasons. They go through times where we just feel like, man, I can't seem to hear clearly what God is speaking right now. I'm struggling to understand what He's saying in my life. But I want to challenge you to position yourself to be around people. Put yourself around them. Show up around those individuals that hear from God frequently and that you trust are hearing God and responding with yes, that are responding to Him. Samuel didn't recognize God's voice, but he sought guidance from Eli, and Eli's instruction helped Samuel to understand how to respond to God's call. We have to be open to receiving advice and seeking counsel from spiritual mentors and leaders, and the wisdom and experience that wisdom and that experience can help us discern God's voice in our lives. A lot of times, God's voice is actually recognized in our lives through the wisdom of spiritual mentors. So don't walk this journey alone. Samuel did one more thing that I think is really impressive. He listened. Sometimes we do all the right things and God's speaking, but we're not listening. See, I want you to understand this morning, God wants to speak to you. Like, you're His children. He cares about you. He loves you. He values you. He wants to speak to you. He wants it to be a conversation. Yes, He wants you to talk with Him, but He wants to speak into your life as well. And Samuel listened. Samuel's response was, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And this demonstrated his willingness to listen, but not only to listen, but to respond, to obey what God was speaking. This attitude of attentiveness was crucial for hearing God's voice and hearing God's message. I think we have to cultivate a heart that listens, church. That's willing to hear God and then say yes. Amen. And that, if I had to nail it down, I think that that is one of the main, I would say the, but I'm going to say one of. It's one of the foundational aspects that will determine how much of an impact we have for God's kingdom. Does anybody want to make an impact in God's kingdom? Am I talking to some people that want to see God's hand move in their life? I believe that this morning. And I believe that hearing God is at the core of that. See, a heart that listens is a heart that leads. And your willingness to hear God will determine your impact for his kingdom. But see, there are hindrances and there are lessons that we can learn from Samuel's initial response. And I'm getting ready to close. But Samuel did not initially recognize God's voice because he had not yet had a personal revelation or a personal moment with God, a personal encounter. He lacked that experience. And his lack of personal experience was a barrier. It wasn't sinful, it wasn't wrong, it was just a barrier. It hindered him from being able to hear God's voice in his life. But with Eli's guidance, Samuel learned to recognize and respond to God's voice. And I just want to ask, is God speaking to you? Are you hearing him? Are you putting yourself in positions, church, to hear from God regularly? See, I wasn't. I'm so grateful that I am now. It's changed my life. So if we could do this, I just want to ask you, if you bow your head right where you are, just for a moment. Not that there's anything overly spiritual about bowing your head and closing your eyes, but I want, if you will, to just get alone with God. Would you just allow this moment, this space, to be a holy moment and a holy space? God, you are here, you are present, and I believe you want to speak to us. God, more than anything that I could say or more than anything that any one of us could say or do this morning, I believe that your voice is more important. Lord, this may be very different. This may be something that's difficult. But I believe, God, that if we will allow ourselves to listen and be willing to respond to what it is that you speak. Father, say what you want to say. Speak what you want to speak this morning. Whether it's just a simple, I'm proud of you and I love you, as a father would speak that to their children, God, you want to speak those things to us. Whether it's just a simple, I love you, and you matter to me. God, maybe it's you saying something that's a little bit more challenging. Maybe it's you asking us to do something or tugging on our heart, calling us to do something big for you. God, we understand that you're more concerned about our growth than you are our personal comfort. And ultimately, you're concerned about your glory, and we want to be a part of seeing that happen. So God, speak to us. Maybe it's something that we've been struggling with, and you're speaking to us in a convicting but a grace-filled, loving way and saying, I know you've been struggling with this for a long time, but I'm ready to help you walk through this and walk out of it. Maybe it's a sin or struggle that keeps recurring, that keeps coming back. God, would you speak? Maybe there's someone in this room, Father, that does not yet know you, as Samuel had not yet had a personal encounter with God, as Samuel had not yet seen or experienced you in that way. God, maybe there's someone in here that doesn't know you personally. There's someone in here that maybe just hasn't ever made that decision to follow Jesus. God, I pray that you would speak to them, that you would draw them to you, God, that you would let them know, Father, how much you love them, how much they matter to you, and God, that you would speak. And then I pray that they would respond, that in every scenario, whatever it is, big, small, in the middle, that they're all big to you and they matter. God, I pray that the response would be yes. Yes to walking away from that sin or that struggle. Yes to fulfilling the call on their life. Yes to Jesus for the first time. God, I pray that you would speak. I want to ask everyone with your head bowed and eyes closed, and just as we get ready to shift out of this space, would you pray this prayer? Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? I believe God wants to speak to you this morning. We drove to Mount Olive NC, and what an honor and a blessing it is for me to ramble around and throw some words at you, but here's the thing. More than anything that I can say, I believe God, the God of the universe, the God of creation, the God of all things good, God our Savior, wants to speak to you. That's a big deal. That's a miraculous thing, that the God of the universe would speak to his creation and speak personally and call you by name. I believe God wants to speak. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to step down. I'm going to ask you one more time to just pray this prayer and listen and respond. Holy Spirit, speak to me.